Welcome to the Bible study. My name's Terry Pete. Brother Hampton's out of town. And I'd like to thank you all for tuning in and everybody here for showing up to hear about God's grace. And hopefully I'll be able to share something with you that will make you build up and established and know what the hope of your calling is and find the verses where it says it, you know. I get an opportunity a lot of times to sit and watch other preachers on TV and hear other preachers preach. And a lot of times when I listen, I don't hear the gospel. I hear a lot of things about what I'm supposed to be doing for Jesus. As a matter of fact, most of the time, when I listen to preachers, it never changes. It's always the same stuff. It's all about what I'm supposed to be doing for Jesus, about how the Christian, what the Christian is supposed to be doing, and that's fine. I think we ought to know what the will of God is, but I never hear anything about what Jesus Christ did for me. I always hear what I'm supposed to be doing for Jesus. And how I need to fix my life. And how I need to do this. And how I need to do that. And I never hear anything about what Jesus Christ did for me. And, so I want to, go to, 1 Corinthians. I was going to start in Romans, but I want to start in 1 Corinthians first because it really goes to what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. If anybody out there is a pastor, a preacher, a teacher that has an opportunity to stand up and give their own testimony to one other person, or if it's standing in front of a multitude of people, it really doesn't matter. It should all go back to the same thing. And I believe that's the cross. And when you leave the cross out, and it's not just to say, Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's great. But show me what happened when he died for my sins. I mean, the preaching of the cross, it says, to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Well, how is that? Tell me about that. I want to know about that. Don't you want to know about that? Don't y'all want to know about that? I mean, I want to know. I want to hear somebody else talk about it. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only person outside of our group in Montgomery that knows the truth. You know? And I listen to these preachers in week after week, day after day, it's the same thing. They never change. It's always about what you need to be doing for Jesus. And how you need to fix your life and what you need to do and moral, you know, correction. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Why just Jesus and Him crucified, and Paul didn't really want to talk about anything else. He said he determined. When you determine something, that's like there were other things that he knew that he could have been talking about, that he had knowledge of and wisdom of, but he determined. He made a decision that he determined that he was going to talk about something else. What was that? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, what do I know about Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Did He die for my sins? Go to Romans chapter 6. You know, once you get away from the cross, it gets complicated. Paul warns lest you be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Why? Because your flesh is complicated. Your heart is deceitful. And above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your life can be very complicated outside of the cross. Everything that we have is by the cross. As a matter of fact, our very existence, us, not only us walking around, but the life that we have, physically and spiritually that we have, eternal life, is all by Him in the cross. Because if it hadn't been for the cross, God would have just wiped it all out. Well, none of us would even be walking around alive. Look what he says in Romans chapter 6. I guess Miss Brenda is watching, so I want to give a shout-out to Miss Brenda and Miss Holloway. I sure wish they were here. She's a joy to me, and when Barry's not here. In Romans chapter 6, I'll start in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now received the atonement. What did the cross, when Jesus Christ died, he died for those that were without strength. He died for the ungodly. He died for the unrighteous. He died for sinners. He died for enemies. He died for wicked persons. And anything to be contrary to what the law could measure up for a man to be, he died for that. That's where I meant Romans 5. I'm sorry. I said Romans 6, but I meant Romans 5. I'm sorry. That's my mistake. Romans 5. Romans 5, 6. Y'all still ain't got ESP. Romans 5, 6. So when we were yet without strength, it says in Romans 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What was the life? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again. Life. Raised again for our, we were saved by His resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses. He died for our sins. And He was raised again for our justification. He came back to life. And when he came back to life, he gave everybody life. How was it the opportunity made for everybody to have life? His life. Because when he was raised from the dead, our sins were paid for. Look what it says in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I really mean it. It really is Romans chapter 6 this time. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now that word baptism there is, put into, identify, overwhelmed with. When you think about, I always think about this today while I was studying, when you go into something, are you surrounded by it? You're identified by that. How do I know that? If you go into a building, a group of people, you go into a building and we sit down together, people would call us a church. We're identified by being together, by agreeing on the same thing. The world would say, we're a church, right, by the building, but we're all in the building. And what identifies us is, we're in this building and, we have walked into the building. So now we're identified with the building. People identify us of being Grace Bible Church by being in this building. Have you been into Grace Bible Church? Have you been into Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ? Now see, most people would identify that with water. But when you walked into this building, there was no water put on you. But yet you're identified with this building. Look what he says. Know you not so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Into, that's the word, into his death. And see, that's a spiritual thing going on there, but God looked at it so much that it literally happened. How much so? Because he counted it a legal done deal. God saw you before the foundation of the world, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, and put you into Christ the moment you believed. So look what he says. He identified you with Jesus Christ. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, he says that we are buried, but yet we're walking around. But are you literally 100% buried? For real. That sounds like a real deal. Really? I mean, come on. If you were to go before a judge, and you were being tried for a crime, and the judge sentenced you to death, and they really executed you, would you really be dead? Do you think that they could ever try you for another crime? Why not? You're dead. Now that's a legal decision that was handed down. Amen? Well, how much more real is this? Paul says, we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Which is more real, what we see around us or the spiritual things contained in the preaching of the cross? What everything that we have is through this preaching. Outside of this preaching of the cross, you have nothing. So, go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now just take that by itself. I am crucified with Christ. Okay, when was Christ crucified? Almost 2,000 years ago. Well, I'm still here. How can that be? That I'm still alive and 2,000 years ago I was crucified with him. How could that possibly be? It could only be based upon God's foreknowledge that I would believe. But you know what the greatest thing about that is? Is that based upon God's foreknowledge that I would believe and God being just, he went ahead and crucified everyone. Not only were the believers crucified, but the unbelievers were crucified, that salvation could come to anybody. Look what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans 10, 13. The only way this verse can exist, the only way it could have been wrote down, was that everyone was crucified. Look what he says. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how could he say whosoever if everyone wasn't crucified? He couldn't, could he? Paul said, I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. Everyone's been crucified. The problem is they don't know it. Look what we in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It said crucified, didn't it? How did you do that? Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Anyway, Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How could you reckon it if you couldn't apply it to something? Could you yourself do it? Was it Romans 6? It's to be dead indeed unto sin. How could you not reckon it without, how could you reckon it without the cross? Well, you just, I reckon it's dead. Then what happens? Do you do it again? Yeah, but you do it again. You ever tell a lie? Now, without the cross, my point is this. Without the cross, it would do no good to reckon. Where are you going to apply it to? Where are you going to go back? Where's your reference point? Where are you going to go back to and say, I'm reckoning, what it is I'm reckoning or accounting the fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paid my debt, and I am going to count it, reckon, believe it, trust it, that it's so. I'm just going to count it. It done deal. Reckon. I reckon. I guess. I hope so. Maybe so. I've counted it up. Weighed it out. Yep. He died for all my sins. I reckon all my sins are paid for. That's what he's talking about. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, verse 5. Romans 6, 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, how were we planted together in the likeness of his death? If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, how were we planted together in the likeness of his death? By water? Was that like his death? Is water baptism in the likeness of his death? Would they tell you in church? Anybody here been in the church where they baptized? They say, buried with him in baptism, raised again unto life for justification, right? Just like Christ was, and we're gonna go down in a watery grave, and then you're gonna come back up in newness of life. That what y'all heard? That's what I heard. I've been baptized twice. Confused me. I couldn't figure out how that. You say, well, Jesus was baptized, so I'm gonna get baptized like Jesus, but wait a minute. When Jesus was baptized, had he died yet? How could that identify me with his death then? Now think about this. Did water ever identify anybody with death? What is the only baptism that identifies anybody with death? It's only the cross that identifies you with Jesus Christ. So when Christ died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. When he was raised again, I was raised up. So when he died, what did he do? 1 Corinthians 15. Write the verses down and go study this out, because it's a lot here. But it just goes to three basic things. Death, and that He died for my sins. He was buried, and my sins were buried. And the old man was put in the grave and not resurrected. That old man ain't resurrected. He's still dead. What come up? What came back up? A new creature, right? A quickening spirit, a new creature, something brand new, never been before. Is something new, anything that's been? Nope, this is something new. Had it been before? No. It wasn't there in the Old Testament. It wasn't there with Moses. It wasn't there with Abraham. It wasn't there with David. I have no idea. I don't know. He could be walking around with us today. It doesn't say. I looked. No, he didn't go to heaven, that's for sure. He didn't go to heaven. But what he come up as, I don't know. Well, they couldn't believe if they hadn't heard, could they? Right.
And
that's right. Hear without a preacher. That's our job, and your job to give your testimony and tell people. That's right. Well, yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died. Everybody's sins were, let me just use the verse because I make mistakes. I'm a dummy. But the Word of God is going to bear it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. And they're the same old verses, but there's so many applications to these verses that they're almost inexhaustible because they all fit in together with the cross. It all goes back to the cross. He died for our sins, He was buried, and rose again the third day. The preaching of the cross is the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel without preaching the cross. Look what he says, to wit, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He hath made Him to be sin, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world. He made the world. He took the world's sin and crucified Christ with those sins. And judged him. That's what I'm saying. The believer and the unbeliever. He sure did, and that's a God thing, but you don't know. And I don't know. But it don't matter. I don't pick and choose. Only those that believe, the only difference between a believer and an unbeliever, and I don't want to get too far off, is the moment you believe, then you're predestinated to do some things. But the opportunity is Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. How can it be unto all unless He died for all? Can't be. God would be unjust to offer the same gift to one that He died for to another that He didn't. It has to be the same judgment for all. If Christ died for all, then all are dead. Is the unsaved man dead? Amen. Or is the saved man dead? Amen. What's the difference? But why is one in Jesus Christ and the other not? Belief. It's belief. They believed. Romans chapter 3. But even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Colossians chapter 2. Jesus Christ, all men's sins were put on Jesus Christ. Believers, unbelievers. How do I know that? Hang on just a second before I go over there. I think it's important. Romans chapter 5. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's not picking and choosing here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet prevention for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All. Come down. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. But not as it was by one that sinned, so as the gift. In other words, one sinned, so only one got the gift. In other words, Adam sinned, so only Christ got the gift. No, that's not the way it is. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more that's receive. There it is. All they got to do is receive it. If Jesus Christ didn't become everyone's sin, then everyone couldn't receive it. Okay, all I'm trying to say with this is the power of the cross to save anybody. Now, if there were only certain people that God looked back, and this is true, okay? God, before the foundation of the world, saw those that would believe and predestinated them, chose them. How do I know that? Titus chapter 1, right? We chose us in Him. Titus chapter 1, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Okay? Promised. But it was based on His foreknowledge, what He knew. He knew who would believe and who wouldn't believe. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm kind of getting off course. I want to get back on course here, what I'm talking about. It's the cross. Jesus Christ. Pardon? He knew those that would believe. He knew those that would not believe. Foreknowledge. If he didn't, he ain't God. He knew everything they would do, everything that would take place, everything about their life before he ever even breathed. Said, let there be light. Before he ever did anything. Well, he chose them based upon their belief. You don't have to worry about anything but only one thing. And understand that 2,000 years ago, God took Jesus Christ and made him to be everyone's sin. See, that's the justness of it. That's the only way that anybody could be saved. Okay, let's say, okay, God looked before the foundation of the world and he looked back and he said, okay, there's going to be 100 million people that are going to believe and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Which I think that's a way big number. Let's say a million. That may be. But let's say God looked back before the foundation of the world, God looked forward and he said, okay, there's going to be a million to believe. I'll send Jesus Christ, died for their sins, and only their sins will be put on them and everyone else will just is automatically damned. That would not be just. Because there would be no opportunity for all men to be saved. But he said that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Not a hundred thousand, not a million, not 100 million, all. If they will believe. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2:11, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Did you put it off? How was it put off? In whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You couldn't have done that, could you? It says without hands. You got hands? Out there on the internet, do you have hands? This says without hands. Okay, let's keep going. This thing, remember, no hands. It's like, this is like playing soccer. No hands. Can't use hands. And for all you amputees, this counts for you too. No nubs. Well, I mean, somebody would probably say that, well, I don't have hands, so that doesn't apply to me. Come on, it's not of the flesh. It's not anything you can touch, see. You can grab a hold of and go, oh yeah, that's it. Look what he says. In whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, that's the cutting off of the flesh, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. That's the thing right there. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. What is that? I'm going to go to the board. Got to go to the board. Oh, body of the sins of the flesh. Okay. And I know you all have seen this before, but okay, you're born, right? And you're going to die, right? And there's, let's say that's your life. And it's the body of the sins of the flesh. There it is. The body of the sins of the flesh. All, you know what that is? That is your sinful nature that you got from Adam the moment you were born, till the moment you die. If when you die, will you have the body of the sins of the flesh? No, you put that off, right? Okay, but from the time that you're born to the time you die, you have the body of the sins of flesh. That's your nature, and that's all of the sins that that sin nature will produce in your lifetime. Okay, Paul says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. If Christ became that, is it there anymore? If it is, God has to judge it. But he says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How could God, who is a righteous judge, have no condemnation toward you if there was sin left in your life that he could look at and judge you by? Doesn't make sense. It's not just. It's not right. That's not righteous. That's not righteous judgment. But God is a righteous judge. Amen? Okay? Colossians chapter 2. In whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When was Christ circumcised? Right. Well, no. When? What is circumcision? The cutting off of the flesh. When was Christ cut off from his flesh? When he dropped off, right? He left his flesh. He was cut away from his flesh. He was circumcised from his flesh. He was circumcised from his flesh, or cut off from his flesh. You were too. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. There is no difference. It says in Romans chapter 3, for there is no difference. Why isn't there any difference? Because Jesus Christ died for all sins. Everyone's sins. Had to have. It was the only way he could make a righteous judgment. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. And remember what he said verse 11, circumcised, in the circumcision made without hands. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. No hands. Is this water? Is this water? Why not? Right. No hands can perform this. Can hands perform a circumcision? A physical circumcision. A baby is born in the hospital, they circumcise them, right? That's hands, right? That's not spiritual, right? Is baptism spiritual? It's physical, isn't it? Okay. Buried with him in baptism. Now that, in context, now I have to say this is without hands also. Because he says, in whom you are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Colon. What does that mean? Right? That's right. This is going to make whatever I said before really clear. What does that mean? You just ask yourself, okay, what does that mean? Answer. Buried with him in baptism. That's the way you would think about it. You would go, what does that mean? Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ? What is that? Buried with him in baptism. Any hands yet? No hands. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. No hands. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can you see somebody getting baptized? Sure can. How many of y'all in here are saved? I can't tell. I don't see the Spirit. I don't see you in Christ. I don't see you seated at the right hand of the Father. I didn't see you being buried, dying, buried, and being raised up again the third day with him. I didn't see you ascend up on high, seated at the right hand of the Father with him. You have to trust the Lord. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now go to 1 Corinthians 15, where I was going to go before and I forgot. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. The preaching of the cross is everything that happened in that death, burial, and resurrection. See, I can tell you that Christ died for your sins, but not until I tell you what happened when he died for your sins, you won't understand what happened. You can say Christ died and buried and rose again the third day. But if I don't read verses like he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, you don't understand what happened when he died for our sins, was buried. What does that mean? He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. So it happened. So now what? Well, the preaching of the cross is so now what? It's now this is what happened. Look what he says in Colossians. Go back to Colossians, verse 20. I'm sorry. Colossians 2. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ. How do you know if you're dead with Christ? Yeah, but how do you know that? How do you know that? You believe it, right? Is there any other way? No, you believe it. How much do you believe it? By faith. But how much do you believe it? I mean, how far will you go with it? How far will you go with that? Are you willing to just sit back and rest and say, you know what, if I die right now, it doesn't matter. I'm just trusting the Lord that what He did back then was enough, and I ain't worried about it. That's how much I believe it. Do what you want. That's what I believe. I'm not repenting or confessing my sins or trying to get right with God. And God is working in me and doing everything that He needs me to do. I ain't doing nothing. How do I know? I screw it up. Every time I get involved, I mess it up. I'll be walking around and I'll say, Lord, please just give me an opportunity to witness. 90 miles an hour. Everybody's going on and then, pow, I get this opportunity. I'm like, wow, that had to be the Lord, man. It wasn't me. What did I do? People are looking at me like, that guy's a nut. He thinks he knows how to manage a pizza restaurant. And then I get to open up my mouth and say, hey, man, look what Christ did for you. I mean, it freaks me out. Because I'm like, how did that happen? I couldn't have worked that out. I wait for opportunities all the time, and when I try to make them work out, they don't work out. And when I just say, Lord, help me. I just want to show somebody the truth, man. And then I don't try. I just trust the Lord, and it happens. And eventually it's gone, you know, you have the opportunities. Because, you know, you can try to force what you believe on somebody, and they ain't going to want it. But if you just rest, just wait, it'll happen. I had a guy that, he comes in the pizza restaurant. I hope he's watching. I can't remember his name. But him and his wife come in and eat buffet on Saturday. And I got a chance to witness this guy for a long time, you know, like an hour or so, you know. And maybe even 2 hours at the hospital. And we were just passing by. I was visiting my dad, and I just saw him. Hey, aren't you eat buffet with us, you know. And I didn't say anything else to him. Now, I told him, you know, visit the website and, you know, I'd be interested in having a Bible study with you if you wanted to have a Bible study or in my house or whatever. And I didn't say anything else to him. I just kept my mouth shut. Hey, how you doing? And the other day, just a couple days ago, he's like, hey, come here, man. I got a question I want to ask you. I'm like, wow. He came to me. I didn't go to him. He just came to me. It's just amazing. Colossians chapter 3. I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2. I didn't read that one. Verse 19. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Now, when he says in the beginning of the verse, not holding the head, what head is he talking about holding? This head? And not holding, and your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. And let me back up a little bit. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, on and on, which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his flesh and mind, and not holding the head. Who is the head? Christ. Well, he's not. Well, Christ is the head of the body, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, but Christ is the head of the body. Head of the church. But what I'm saying is, in Christ. I mean, listen, and I'm not doing anything taken away from God, but this is the thing. God
chose Christ to be the head of the body. Okay, would there be a head of a body had Christ not died? Okay. So is God, God's the head of Christ, right? And Christ is the head of the body. Don't get it out of order. Is the wife the head of the husband? Are the children the head of the wife? Is the man the head of Christ? Okay. So you gotta keep it in order, right? So it's the children, the wife, the husband, Christ, God. Has to be in that order. God, by himself, can't be the head of the body without Christ. Why? Because by Christ, all things were performed that gave us life. God couldn't have done it without Christ. Can God get the gospel out without you? No. He's just going to send Jesus. Right? He's the head of the church. He'd just send Jesus. Okay, without Christ. The church wants to be edified. God would just come down and just make it known. Just, you don't even have to crack a book. Just make it known. No, we got to have Christ as the head. Who revealed things to Paul? Who revealed things to faithful men? Who revealed the faithful men and so on and so on and so on? And so the order goes. But Colossians chapter 3 now. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for you're dead, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ is who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 1, if you then be risen, are you risen? How you know? That's what it says, and I believe it, alright? I believe what it says. Had Paul not wrote the letter, could you believe it? You can't believe what's not there, could you? I mean, it's real simple, I mean like that, but, I mean, it's that simple. There it is, and I believe it, and I know that without Christ being risen, I don't have life either. Without His death, I know my sins haven't been paid for. And without him being buried, I know that they can come back. See what I'm saying? So, okay. I'm not doing a good job, I imagine. Galatians. I don't know. I don't. I'm just trying to, it's the preaching of the cross. I don't hear this. I don't hear what Jesus Christ did on that cross. Galatians 4, 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I've bestowed upon you labor in vain. But now after that you have known God, the middle of the verse, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? What kind of things will bring me into bondage? He said, seek those things which are above. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Amen? Okay. And that would be like way good stuff, right? I mean, like the good stuff. But now, after that you have known God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I've bestowed upon you labor in vain. Come on. Beggarly elements? Law? That'd be one. Ordinances? What else? Traditions of men? What's, come on, one of them. Come on, what are we talking about? Repent? What else? That's it. In this time, circumcision also, right? Hang on here for a minute. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to show you baptism is a carnal ordinance. And those that baptize are operating under weak and beggarly elements. How is it that water can identify me with the cross? Paul says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, unto us which are saved is the power of God. What does he say back up there? And hang on here to Hebrews and go to 1 Corinthians 1:17. Now, we're talking about water here in 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17, verse 15, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Did Paul baptize? Water. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, you could say that was spiritual baptism. They spake in tongues. But you know, even those tongues and all of that stuff wasn't nothing but carnal, fleshly type stuff. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's carnal. I mean, that's just, Hannah, sit down, baby. That's just a carnal thing. That's not operating by faith. Faith cometh by hearing. It didn't say faith cometh by seeing. When you know, boy, I saw him healed, that's God. That's not faith. Faith cometh by hearing. One 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Anything outside of the cross of Jesus Christ makes the cross of Christ of none effect. Could a carnal ordinance do that? Sure could. Make the preaching of the cross of none effect. Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm almost done. I got 1 minute and I'll wrap this thing up. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Was water baptism perfecting anybody? No. If something's not perfect, what is it? It'd be kind of a beggarly thing, wouldn't it? He says, weak and beggarly elements. Whereunto you desire again to be in the bondage. You observe days and months. Go to Colossians, and I'm going to wrap it up. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. Now, hang on just a second. I know Paul. Hang on here just a second and go to 1 Corinthians 11:18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and partly I believe it. For there must also be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. They're coming together and they're thinking they're eating the Lord's Supper, and they're eating and getting drunk, and they're having a big old party. Woohoo, it's grace, we do what we want. Boy, the Lord's Supper really made them spiritual, didn't it? It really taught them how to walk in Christ, didn't it? No, they were operating in the flesh. Did the Lord's Supper help these people walk in Christ? Is my point.
Okay. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup. Do you understand the people that were doing this were fixing to be executed? They were going to die a martyr's death, and it was a thing that they were to hold on to until they died that death. They were going to be martyred. This wasn't no kind of, oh, well, let's just do, we'll drink a little wine and have a little bread, and we're just going to be one with Jesus. Man, they had to constantly keep that thing in their mind, what Jesus Christ was doing. He was dying for them, and when he came back, he was going to wash their sins away at the second coming. As you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Now come down. Verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are, they're thinking they can just take part of this Lord's Supper thing, and that's all they need to do, and Jesus is just going to, that's all they need. Jesus is just going to take care of them. All they got to do is drink some wine, eat some bread, and that's enough for the nourishment. And they're dying. They're dropping like flies. They're literally going around thinking they can drink wine and eat this little bit of bread, and the Lord's going to provide for them. In the process, they're having a party out of it and getting drunk and having a feast because, you know, they're Gentiles. But the ones who were actually doing it, they wasn't playing around with this thing. They weren't getting drunk at no feast. But look what he says. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now my verse is the next verse. Now, how many of y'all been told when you come together and you sit in a pew somewhere and you take part of the communion that you're taking part of, you know, the whole thing, you know, Christ shed his blood for us and we're part of his body, so we eat the bread and that's showing we're part of his body and all that. And boy, that's just a spiritual thing you can do, really going to show you Christ. Amen? That's what they say? Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now he just got through talking about all the details of the Lord's Supper, the communion, whatever you want to call it there, and addresses the whole thing and how carnal they've been with this thing and hasn't done anything to build them up in Christ. Hasn't established them. Now he wants to start talking about spiritual gifts. So then my question is, was the Lord's Supper a spiritual gift? Then why do they tell you it is? And why do they tell you baptism is? If you then be risen with Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If old things have passed away, then you don't need no baptism. If old things have passed away, you don't need no carnal ordinance. You don't need to partake of some wine. And by the way, they were drinking wine. It wasn't grape juice. And the bread that they had was unleavened. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. Now we got a better picture of it, don't we? Touch not, taste not. What did Peter say talking about the ordinances that were delivered to the Thessalonians and the Galatians? That they abstain from things offered to idols and strangled and from blood, right? And from idolatry. Four ordinances they were delivered. Paul says, you ain't under, who put them under that? The 12 and the elders. The Jews. The Pharisees. The circumcision. They put them under that. Paul's going around telling them, hey, Jesus Christ died for their... I went out and preached the gospel to some Gentiles about Jesus Christ dying for their sins and paying all their debt, and they believe that, and they turn to God, and they're just so excited that they're part of the family of God now. And Peter says, that's great. And then they deliver them four ordinances to try and help them live for Jesus. Did it? No, didn't. Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So why were they still doing it? They didn't know. Who knew it? Paul. Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He didn't hide nothing. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, the breaking of that bread, or in drink, drinking that wine, or in respect of a holy day. Oh, we come to church on Sunday. It's the Sabbath. Oh, we got to observe Easter. That's a holy day, right? Let no man judge you. Or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. None of those things are above. And the only, what do we find above? Righteousness. Justification. Unblameable. All spiritual blessings. Joint heirs with the Creator of heaven and earth. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Far above all principalities and powers. Above every name that is named. How is that? We're in Christ. That in the ages to come, He might show us exceeding every... I mean, look what it says in Ephesians, and I'll be done. Verse 7, Ephesians 2, 7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, let me tell you, how is it? He says, in whom you also, Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed, you were sealed after that you believed. He says, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation. How is that? When Jesus Christ died, you died. When He was buried, you were buried. When He was raised again, you were raised again through the faith of the operation of God. And then a man came and told you about your salvation that was accomplished 2,000 years ago before you was ever born. Now repent of your sins and confess your sins. You know what that does? All you're doing is admitting that you're a sinner. And you know what you're admitting? If you're a sinner and you're admitting you're a sinner, you know what your problem is? You are lost. If you're confessing your sins right now,
If you're worried about your sins, what you're doing, I might not be measuring up to the measure, so I'm going to confess my sins and get it right with God. You're lost. You need to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. He's accomplished your salvation 2,000 years ago. Finished the work, it's done. Delivered Him for our offenses. Raised Him again for our justification. Won't you right now just chunk everything you got and just trust the Lord? He's already done it all. I'm done.